You're listening to Para X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Live and direct from my subterranean lair inside the third dimension of planet Earth. Deep beneath Gotham City, I'm coming at you live and direct. It's Spiral Radio Baby, TMS Radio Baby, where each and every week we come through bringing you every shade of yourself and exposing it in the physical world. It's a full moon in Leo, and it's a snow winter wonderland out there, everybody. So tonight, our guest was going to be psychic Anthony Carr, and unfortunately, he got caught in a blizzard in Toronto, and he won't make it, but I got a great show lined up for you. I got exciting new research that I've been... You see, I've had an interesting life, ladies and gentlemen, and I felt like it was my duty to start a show like this. And Spiral Radio is, I feel, a unique show because not only are we, bringing you paranormal subjects, we're just, I'm trying to bring you information that I've been able to tap into in the holographic universe out there. And, you know, we're just not five senses. We have more. You know, we can tap in to many different astral realms, lower and higher. And you got to understand that we are this unique species. And, you know, we might be the only species on this planet that can tap into these lower and higher astral realms. So you got to understand that this is our true destiny on this earth, is to spiritually evolve with the planet. And when we don't evolve with the planet, the Earth suffers, and it'll show itself in different ways. So tonight I was going to have Anthony Carr, and you can research him at anthonycarrpsychic.com, and you can find me always at themysticalspiral.com, and my YouTube is Exploring the Ka with Ra Castaldo. And you know, tonight, I got a lot of information I wanted to share, and I don't know how deep I should go, because seriously, a lot of this information is so secretive and so deep out there that it almost sounds like it's made up sci-fi, but it's really our true history, and it's what's going on, because everyone, this universe is teeming with life out there. You know, I was able to tap into it at a young boy because I had a near-death experience, and it awakened something inside me that was encoded inside of my DNA. And I truly believe that that's what's taking place, is that we are all encoded in stone and bone, all of us. Everything our ancestors have ever done, anything they've ever experienced, any trauma, any achievements, it's been encoded in bone and in the stone and in the trees and in everything in earth. And it's there to unlock, and we can tap into that. You see, everything on this earth have spirits. Plants have spirits. You know, we all have spirits watching us. And at the beginning of time, there was beings that chose to come here. And, you know, they were put here as watchers. And yes, it's an awesome moon out tonight. We got a Leo moon. We got everybody in the chat room, PSI, what's up, Magic, Cat, Sarge, buddy. Yeah, I appreciate everybody coming out tonight. I know it's crazy with the weather lately, too. I got snowed in. But what I'm getting at is that from the beginning of time, there was these beings that watched over us. Whether you want to call them watchers, Kabbalists call them... they arrange them in archangels. You know, they're called all different names. The Djinn. Us Strega, we call them the Grigori. And you see, these beings were meant to just watch over us because we have that divine spark in us, inside of us. And they were meant to watch over us and watch over all the magical properties of Earth and the stargates. They were never meant to intermingle with us and get directly involved. And when some of them chose to get directly involved, chaos happened, you know, and we were born from chaos, if you want to go there, you know. Things get created from chaos. You cannot have love and light without chaos. So what I'm getting at tonight is the chaos that has been going on for hundreds and thousands of years on this solar system, and in the whole cosmos. You want to call them the Orion Wars or the Cosmic Wars. They have transferred now into Astral Wars, but I wanted to go over the history of some of these wars and how it's affecting us today and the beings that are arising that have been asleep for hundreds of thousands of years and now awakening. And I feel this time on Earth, this next 10 years, we are in the final battle of these cosmic galactic wars, these Orion wars. You see, there's been an ongoing war of the ages between the Draco forces or these Orion groups and the Lyrans or the Nordics or the Felines. They're all from this Lyran and these Vegan constellations. Are these Nordic-type humanoids that look very human and these feline races that are like humanoid cat people. And they've been getting hunted for their DNA and for their genetic encoding. And these reptilian Dracos or Naga, whatever you want to call them, they have been hunting them for their genetic material and their genetic structure. And they have been terraforming planets, not only taking over species of entire planets, but terraforming them as well. So this war left constellations and ended up on Mars. And Mars had a war for thousands of years, destroying the planet. And of course they came to Earth, and Earth is a living library. And we are all like library cards on this planet. And we can access the information that's ever happened on this planet and in the holographic universe. So we can tap into these wars and our true history. Because during these wars, many different planets got, you know, basically transformed into something else. Saturn is rumored to have been a sun at one time. And now it is basically a hellhole, you know, and imprisoned. It's said that these rings on Saturn are imprisoning entities, and there are also watchers inside of these Saturn rings. And you see, these reptilian, these Orion groups, they are here to take over species, but not only species. Once they dominate the species, they go off after the whole rock. You know, they want the whole planet. And during these battles, beings from the Aldebaran star system, which is the Taurus, the red eye, the left red eye of the Taurus is Aldebaran. That's the royal star. And this is where a lot of these Draco beings come from, and where a lot of the British elite are descended from. And there are a lot of, some people call them the Blue Bloods. Some people call them, you know, reptilian Naga forces, but they're all called different things in different lands. And they came here to terraform our Earth. And it's basically interwoven. You see, these beings from Aldebaran, what I've been able to pull in from the astral and to verify through other sources that have also had these experiences in this holographic universe is that these beings from Aldebaran, they were battling these Lyrans or these feline Nordic-type beings, hunting them down for their DNA. And during these battles, they were playing with this black meteorite that they were alchemizing, like using some alchemy, and with the DNA of the Nordics and the felines, something happened where a virus arose. And this virus was spreading. And let me see what this in the chat room. I'm sorry, guys. I wasn't looking at the chat room, really, but Yeah, Fukushima. I mean, I don't want to get off topic so far right now, but yeah, PSI. Fukushima is, you know, and people aren't really even talking about Fukushima, you know, and it's corrupting the whole planet. I mean, Japan is lost, and it's a shame what's going on. See, I lost the chat room for a second too. I think it froze on my screen, so I'm gonna have to drop out of the chat room for a minute. Go back in. So, basically, to get back to what I was talking about, these Orion forces and these Aldebaran star system, these beings from Aldebaran, a virus arose. It broke out, and it's this sort of primordial ooze, this, you want to call it black goo, whatever you want to call it. This came from these battles. It arose like a virus. And a lot of us were past incarnations, took place in these battles. And we were infected with this virus. And we made future agreements to, you know, be in the final battle, which is now on Earth. To arise again, to be here. And I truly believe this, that when this primordial ooze, this virus arose between this black meteorite-type rock and the DNA of the Lyrans, that this black goo was formed. And it's like this programmable matter that can interweave with a species. And it can interweave with the spiral DNA. And if the species is intelligent and strong enough to take on this goo that interweaves with the DNA, then it will assume the species, interweave with the spiral DNA up the spinal cord, take over the kundalini inside the human, and explodes inside the brainstem. And it is the black awakening. And it takes over that species. Okay? Now, this virus, like I said, not only does it interweave with the species, but then it goes after the planet, the whole rock. and then it assumes the planet, and it takes over these species, and he makes them drones, okay? And this can self-replicate, this programmable black ooze, it can self-replicate, and it can morph into whatever it wants. So it's making humans and different species from different planets drones to carry out their terraforming, to get planets ready for the dimension wave, where they assume the reality and blend the dimension with some kind of quantum entanglement technology interwoven with this primordial virus, this black ooze, this black goo that is taking over a species and interweaving. And some people hear this topic and they think it's nonsense, but it has arose like a virus from these, you know, wars, and it's old and ancient. And the Knights Templar were playing with this black version of this rock. It's there's a hardened version of a rock that comes from that same star system that even is, I believe, is the rock in Mecca, is the black rock. And even like the black rock that John Dee was playing with, this might be all related. And the Nazis were playing with this material, this primordial ooze, these black stones. Maria Orsic was involved with the Lords of the Black Stone when they were praying to these black rocks. And you see, this black goo, it has, not only is it involved with terraforming planets, but it has begun to harvest souls. So it can produce a replication of a human and then take over the souls of another human. So it can travel through the astral realms and then create something in the physical realm by manifesting it in the astral realm. So it's almost creating, you know, an army of drone-like beings. You see, it can self-replicate, but it does not replicate feelings and emotions. So it's looking for souls to harvest so it can become a whole being and actually travel through the astral realms. You see, to travel through realms, you need a soul. You need that divine spark. And if you don't have it, you need spiritual technology like a Merkaba. Let me take a drink of water because I'm on a roll here. So you see, my friends, these wars, these Orion wars, or whatever you want to put a name, not only does this virus, this black goo arise, but many gods or demigods or beings of power arose, and one of them is awakening again, and he's rumored to, his name is Lord Leviathan, and he is the god of the void. He is like the metal god, and he might have been the one who released this virus, who was in the lab working with the DNA of the Lyrans and this alchemy of the Black Stone. And this virus was created by this Lord. And I'm not sure of the whole story, but the reason why I know some of this information is because I have a spirit guide that I do talk to, and then I verified it with other sources that have talked to it as well. And when I asked where this is from, they showed me the picture of the bull with the one red eye, the left red eye, and that's the Aldebaran star system. So I knew it was from Aldebaran. And it's my interpretation of my communications with my spirit guide and my Grigori, or, you know, my guardian angels, whatever you want to name them. It's between that and then verifying it with other sources out there that are also in tap with the holographic universe out there. The if you want to call it like the Hindus call it, the Akashic record. You see, there's always been, since the beginning of time, beings that watch over our spiritual beings, you know, our spiritual person, who we are in the dream time, who we are in the astral state, and there's also beings that watch over us in the physical dimension, you know, and they have different names. But some of these beings chose to, you know, disobey the rules, and some of them were imprisoned at different times as well. And after the break, I got 10 minutes to break, so I'm going to finish what I'm getting onto with the virus. But after the break, we're going to get into some of the imprisonment of some of these demons, where they're imprisoned, and why and how they're being released. So this black goo, you know, it has now begun to terraform our Earth. And there's no coincidence that how this interweaves with technology, and the biggest company that runs our whole computer system and our internet and our World Wide Web is called Google. Okay, that's not a coincidence. I know it's just a play of words, but think about it. What out of everything to name a company, why Google? Why Google? You know, this black goo is known. It's a virus of the wars. And you think about it, there's billion-dollar men who are into space exploration, like what's his name? I forget his name now. Help me out, PSI. Forget what his name is. He builds rockets, and he's into space exploration, but he's a billion-dollar. But these billion-dollar men, they're looking into getting off this rock and, you know, colonizing Mars, which it already is colonized, I believe, but making it commercially, you know, colonized. So if these billion-dollar men are willing to, you know, I hear you, PSI. But yeah, if, you know, see, if these billion-dollar space exploration, you know, they're looking into getting off this rock and willing to live into a tin can, you know, for a while, and try to colonize another planet. Why? What makes a man want to leave a planet? Think about it. It's intense. So something is going on, and they know about these wars, and they know about these viruses that have arose and have invaded our bodies. And, you know, a lot of us, like I believe, had contracted this virus when we fought in these past wars. And we were Lyrans at one time. We were these Nordics. We were, you know, these other beings in other lifetimes at one time. And we perished from this virus at one time. And I believe we made these soul contract agreements, these pre-incarnate agreements, to awaken, you know, and be born again at a time of the final battle. And that time is now. And now these wars are taking place astrally. And these Draco forces have gotten technology so intense that they're able to install thought form implants inside people's minds, hijack you astrally, and then make you some kind of drone-like robot where it's making you do things in the physical dimension to get what they want, making you become men with positions of power, where they're putting you in a position of power and you're like a puppet, you know, a puppet for these reptoid type beings, these Naga. You know, Naga are, if you want to call them Naga or reptilians, or, you know, they go by many names, but they're now hijacking astrally because they want to take over and harvest our souls, you know, so they can travel the astral realms. And like I was saying, how this programmable black goo can self-replicate and invade a species. I got off target a little bit, but one thing that I have come to find out that it has done is these gray aliens may have been created by this programmable matter, by this black goo. They have the black wraparound eyes, for instance, and this programmable matter can replicate anything. It could replicate a humanoid like that. And I believe that it made these. There are different types of grays. There's reptilian grays. There's different grays that have been seen. So there may be different species of grays. I'm not an expert on all different species. All I know is some information that I've been able to pull in. And what I've been able to learn. Elon Musk. Yes, that's it. Elon Musk is the one I was talking about. Yeah, in the chat room. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Elon Musk. Yeah, what makes a man like Elon Musk want to get off the planet and colonize another planet? Think about it. You know, they want off this rock, you know. And I believe that this black goo has even, you know, interwoven with our oil and our heating, and it's interwoven with everything. It's it can replicate anything. And I believe that it's created this gray alien, and it is now replicating humans. And that's why you see these black-eyed kids. The gray alien is the size of a child, and it replicated a child, has those same black awakening eyes. But now it can replicate a human, like I said, but it's emotionless. It's cold. It can just replicate something. It cannot have the feelings and the divine spark and soul that's inside of us. So they are harvesting souls from humans to put a soul in these black-eyed children so they can then travel through the astral realms and they can manifest stuff in the dream time. Because you see, everyone, I've explained this before. You have to understand that our dream time is the most important time. Our astral body, our spirit, our oversoul is who we really are inside. That is our true being. You know, yeah, the black-eyed kids are not human. They are programmable matter, you know, that replicated a young boy or a young child. And now it is looking to harvest souls. And they are doing soul transfers. They put beings or humans underneath some kind of hypnotic trance, and if they get you to agree to them, they long to experience the five senses. You see, they are just programmable matter. So they want to feel emotions. They want a soul. So they're hungry to eat. They're hungry to feel what food feels like. They're hungry to feel what a mother says, or a mother's comfort, or a drink of water feels like. That's what these black-eyed children want. They want to experience these five senses. You know, they are replications of humans. You know, they are programmable matter. They don't know what love feels like. So that's why they are harvesting souls from human beings by the soul transfer, somehow through the eyes, through this hypnotic trance, and through the nostrils and mouth. Souls are transferred. And they will harvest a soul. If you give them an agreement, a soul contract, you agree and welcome them in, they will take your soul and harvest your soul. I truly believe that. And I think that they were formed by these virus, this black goo virus from the Aldebaran star system. And it has self-replicated a child, making these black-eyed children. And now they are harvesting souls. And I truly believe that's what's going on. And that's what I was able to pull in from my spirit guide. And that's what they've shown me. And, you know, I'm welcoming everybody just joining us in the chat room. Like I said, we were supposed to have Anthony Carr. And he's in Toronto. And there's a heavy snowstorm. And he called me about an hour beforehand and let me know that he can't get to his assistant's house where he does the interviews from because he doesn't have computers. So, we will have him back on, and Patty Greer, who had to cancel a week or so ago, she also will be back on March 3rd. So that's why tonight's about the Orion Wars and the viruses that have arose. And after this, we're going to get into the 72 demons that were locked beneath the lakes, and King Solomon imprisoned these demons. And we'll get into that, and some of these ancient giants that are awakening. Coming up on the break is Analog Driver and Movie Star Fixed. It's a Leo full moon out there. This is TMS Radio, the Mystical Spiral Radio, on the only, the one and only Para X Radio, bringing you the best in paranormal talk each and every week. The best in paranormal discussions under the Kuiper Belt. We'll see you in a few. Spiral out.
Yeah.
listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back. My name is Ra from themysticalspiral.com. And I'm coming to you live and direct from my subterranean lair. And we got a full chat room tonight. And I want to welcome everybody. And we were talking about the Orion Wars and these Draco forces versus the Lyrans and how they've been going on for hundreds and thousands of years. And how these reptilian type Draco, these Orion groups, have been hunting down these Nordics and these felines that come from these Lyran and Vegan constellations. And, you know, how these Aldebaran beings have also these reptoid type reptilian beings. And how during these battles, these scientists and these beings from these Draco forces were playing around with alchemy and these black meteorites and the DNA of these felines and these Nordic races from the Lyran constellation and some kind of virus, some kind of primordial ooze, some black goo arose and it infected people. And it's a programmable matter. And how it was replicating humans, creating these black-eyed children, and also harvesting souls. So we were getting all into that on the whole first half. The second half, you know, I wanna let people know too, you know, that all of these, all of our true history, all of these wars that have been taking place for eons, it's encoded in our DNA. It's inside of our blood. Our blood is rich with the stories of our past. It's rich with the stories of our ancestor. The blood of all of us can be replenished with our thoughts. It could be, our bones have like caverns in it, and it fills up with, you know, ancient memories. It's encoded, you know, and you got to understand that like our brain have like these tiny little magnet type particles that we get affected by the rays of the sun that go back from, you know, high up like through the Pleiades, and it comes from the Pleiades to our sun, and it awakens them, the fibers in our being, you know, it awakens these ancient memories. If you can tap into it, you know, we are these light bodies, you know, this is what we are. And if we construct it and we can awaken our DNA, we are imprinted with all this ancestral DNA memory, like PSI says. Yes, we are imprinted and encoded. And the whole world is encoded in stone and bone. Everything that's ever been done. And these wars are right there for us to take in and unlock. And, you know, an interesting story I wanted to talk about real quick, too, is, see, I grew up in Rockland County in Haverstraw, New York. And talk about an ancient land. There's this place called Letchworth Village that is about a mile from my home. And, you know, this land was first from the Havistru Indians. And the Havistru Indians were, you know, a northeastern Indian tribe that were along the Hudson, the shores of the Hudson River, right where in Havistraw, New York, right where I'm from. And see, I grew up right down the street from this land. And in about the 1700s, the settlers came over to Haverstraw and, you know, took the land from the Indians. And this land was, it was known to the Indians as sour ground. Like the land went sour. And they have, there was an Indian lore about the land, how like an ancient Indian medicine man like walked the, you know, the land, you know, or guarded the entranceway to the, you know, there's supposed to be some kind of portal, some kind of access to like a demonic dimension, you know, through in that area. So across the street from this land, you know, was soccer fields that I grew up in, that they made soccer fields there. But in the 1900s, they ended up making a lot of this area what's called Letchworth Village, which is basically like 30 stone buildings. It's like a village of mental institutions and asylums. And they were doing all types of experiments and mind control and lobotomies there and electric shock therapy. And it was basically like the village of secrets, you know, the village of ghosts. They're already dead, but they're still alive. You know, they were looking at the window like zombies and all in these different buildings, and they were chained and they were treated horribly for many years, even up until recent days where it was closed in the 90s. But like in the 70s, Geraldo Rivera did I don't know how I go from Cosmic Wars to to Letchworth Village, but something made me want to talk about this today. But yeah, so in the 70s or 80s, Geraldo Rivera, he did a news piece on Letchworth, and you know, he showed up there, and there was kids running around naked, you know, laying in their own feces. They were understaffed. You got one nurse spoon feeding like 80 patients. The patients were all lined up, and she's stuffing the spoon like for the medicine in each one of their mouths, one by one, using the same spoon, not even cleaning it. We should T-Fox. Yeah, this does, you know, see these, you don't understand. These were like catacombs of mental institutions, this Letchworth Village. And not only, you know, did all this horrific acts take place there, and they were understaffed, and, you know, all these, you know, not just mentally retarded and MR, you know, patients were there, but you had people that were just abandoned. You had all types of people, and they were subjected to all these horrific crimes, regardless if they belonged there or not. And there's a graveyard about a half a mile down from the main buildings where it's just stakes in the ground with numbers on it, no names. Some of them have like pictures that people have put there over time, you know, little photographs or little, you know, necklaces. But there's a graveyard of all the people that have died there, you know, where they're just a number in the ground. And, you know, it's a haunting place. And I had a few experiences there in my life that I thought you guys would probably like to hear about. And first I want to get into the land and, you know, what took place there. Basically, you know, not only did, you know, the Native – see, it's weird because the Northeastern Native Americans, they don't mind being called Indians. I go to a Native American festival in Bear Mountain every year, and they don't mind being called Indians for some reason. You know, even the Montauk Indians, they call themselves Indians even, you know. So the Indians in that area already had this labeled as sour land, and – these mental institutions, they were closed down in the 90s, but us kids, you know, used to play in the woods back there for, you know, when we were younger. And there's this legend, okay? There's this legend called Mikey's Grave, and only the locals know about it. I think one of the ghost shows that's on TV, I don't watch TV, I don't have TV, but one of the ghost shows on TV did do a show about Letchworth Village at one time, and I know they don't know they didn't, you know, I saw a part of it on YouTube, but I know they didn't talk about this. No one knows about this unless you live in the town. Basically, we have this legend, it's called Mikey's Grave. Mikey's Grave is number 666. In the graveyard, you know, it's the 666th grave because they just have stakes in the ground with numbers on them. So Mikey's was a kid that got burned alive inside of Letchworth Village. And supposedly on the night before Halloween, when the moon shines on his grave, he comes back and he's looking for a soul to take back with him. And that was the rumor. And, you know, so when I was a kid, you know, I've had two experiences with this place when I was younger, and one of them involved my mom and dad, and one of them just involved me. So basically, when I was a kid, I used to play soccer fields. North Rockland Soccer is directly across Ledgeworth Village. And I was on all types of soccer teams when I was a kid. I used to play traveling soccer, the school team, you know, the Sunday Rec League. So the Sunday Rec League was directly across the street from this Ledgeworth Village. And, you know, driving past Ledgeworth Village, it's right off the parkway entrance, you know, just driving past it, it's an ominous complex of secrets. You could just feel the earth energy about it is a negativity. There's this, you know, almost like, you know, it's a lot of it is a golf course now. They converted to a golf course, but they still have all those beautiful, they are beautiful, actually, old stone buildings, but you can feel the cold darkness, you know, echoing off the walls and just radiating from it. And even as a kid, you know, when I used to play soccer, you know, it's almost like you stare at it for, you know, you just know, you feel the energy of the land right there. And it's an ominous, almost like, you know, like they, when they say just seeing like, you know, something, you know, like even like, it's not as intense as Mount Fuji, but just Mount Fuji is an ominous look just to it. And Ledgeworth Village gives you something like that, a feeling. It just, you just get this death feeling in you when you look at it, this ominous, you know, feeling comes over you. It's weird. It's hard to describe, but it happens to me still to this day. I even passed it today when I drove past it today. And so basically when I was a kid, on Sundays was the rec league at this soccer field across the street from it. And my mom would drop me off early in the morning. And after my game was done, whatever time my game was done, that I was so active and other teams wanted me to play for them. So if other teams would need a sub, I would stick around and sub in other games. So I would like spend the whole day at the fields. My mom would give me money to eat lunch there. You know, my mom would stick around and hang out with the other parents sometimes too. And, you know, it was like I would spend the whole Sunday at the soccer fields, you know. So by the time at the end of the day, I was exhausted. So there was this one guy that lived at Ledgeworth that he wasn't as, you know, as bad as some of the others, where they allowed him out on the weekends to go watch the soccer games. And he had to come back, you know, before dark. So he would come and he would hold one of those boom boxes, like those 1980s boom boxes. So one day, he approached me, and I was young at this time. You know, I was like, you know, 9 or 10 or whatever. And I was at the my mom dropped me off at the soccer fields, and so the guy came up to me one day, and was like, he wanted to show me something. And he had a little boy with him, so I followed this little boy, and this guy, the guy took me by the hand, and then I followed him. And then, like, I remember I wasn't holding his hand the whole time, but, like, he was like, come this way. And he, like, fucking, you know, he pulled me. And, you know, he grabbed me and he was like, you know, come with me. And he had me by the hand. So I followed him down the road. Like, it was like a little ways. And, you know, for some reason, I don't know what made me follow him. I don't know whether I was in a trance, but I ended up, somehow ending up in that graveyard with those marked graves and following this kid and him. And somehow I ended up in the fetal position laying on the ground near that grave 666. And when I awoke, it was just about getting dark out and I got scared. There was nobody else around, you know, and I ran back and my mom was already there looking for me. So it was a pretty weird situation. And, you know, almost, I don't know if it was the same weekend or it was that season, but around that same time, we were coming back from I don't know if we were coming back from my grandparents' house in the Bronx or in Mount Vernon or where we were coming from, but we were coming off the parkway where you come and you know, to come right off the parkway entrance, you have to come in front of Ledgeworth Village. So when you pass in front of Ledgeworth Village, it's you have to make a left or right when you get off the parkway. And when you make a right, you're right in front of Ledgeworth. So when we made the right, some reason my dad's car, which was brand new, stalled out. And, you know, it went dead for a minute right when he got off the parkway entrance. And then out of nowhere, we looked, you know, everybody looked, my dad was like, I don't know why the car, you know, the car stalled. So he was like cursing for a minute. And then we looked out the windows and, you know, one guy looked like he was wrapped in – you see, the weird thing is that me, my mom, and my father all described these people different. We saw something different, all of us. But two or three people all of a sudden were in the street out of nowhere, like right where our car died, and they were walking towards our car. One of them like had chains. One of them had like it looked like it had medical tape wrapped around him, like almost wrapped up like he was in an accident. And they were grabbing our car door, banging on the window for like, it felt like for eternity, but it was just for a second or two. And they were grabbing the, you know, you can hear them grabbing and banging on the window. My mom was screaming. My dad finally started the car, drove off. We all looked back and nothing was there. So there, you know, something is evil about that land. And, you know, there's a rumored to be like these awkward, deformed ghosts walking around the halls. And, you know, I never really tried to go back in there too much, but that would be an interesting spot to explore. And, you know, Ledgeworth Village is pretty much one of the most haunted mental asylums that pretty much too many people don't even talk about and know about. But I don't think all the buildings are still there. But like I said, it's now most of it's a golf course. And I don't know if the town would even let an investigation there. But to get to what I wanted to talk to you about, you know, what's going on with – see, a lot of it I don't know if I should – it's this information is – a lot of it has been, you know, suppressed and kept secret for a long period of time, you know, and – Lake Nemi has been shrouded in mystery and been kept secret for a long time by the Vatican and by the elites of the world. And you see, King Solomon was said to have imprisoned the 72 Goetia demons. You know, and these demons, like Baal being one of them, if you want to call them demons or call them whatever you want to call them. But, you know, at one time, King Solomon was said to have summoned them, and they helped build the Temple Mount. And the Temple Mount was built to house the Ark of the Covenant originally. And you see, they were put in some kind of thought form prison beneath Lake Nemi. You know, all of them. Not all of them were beneath Lake Nemi, but some of them were put in some kind of astral thought form prison. And Caligula, at one point at the turn of the century, had released these demons. And these demons, one of them, his name was Barbatos. And he was released from the thought form, the astral thought form prison. You know, he ended up being able to incarnate and get into a physical body, and he was born, and by, this was in the, like, the turn of the century AD by Caligula, he was released then, and by the 600s, he was able to be born as a baby and had a family line, and the family line was called Barbato after him, and Saint Barbato became in the town of Benevento. You see, this ancient walnut tree that I spoke about last time, I brought it up. Yes, you see, PSI, the jinn are the same thing as these Goetia demons. They were some of the watchers or the fallen that chose to disobey their orders and chose to intermingle and get involved with species on Earth. And they became corrupted and they had to have been imprisoned. You see, if you summon them, they will do you favors. They will do you some good, but at a price. You see, they will, you know, install implants as well, these astral thought form implants, and invade your mind and then take over you, hijack you astrally. and then you are their robot. And what you do in the, and what they make you, you know, what they do in the astral state, like I said, it manifests in the physical plane. You see, there's these seven planes of existence, like I've said before. You got the ultimate plane, the divine plane. You got the spiritual plane, the mental plane, right? You have the astral plane, then the elemental, like the plane of forces, the elemental plane, and then you got the physical plane. So as above, so below. Each, what you do in one plane, it will manifest and affect the other planes. So what you do in your dream time, you see, what we do in the astral state, it is vital, and it is what happens in our awake time, you know, our dream time. That's what takes place. You know, this is a, it's, you know, we're battling for the spiritual evolution of our souls. You know, that's what's taking place, is our spiritual evolution. We're fighting for our souls. We are being terraformed and harvested, and we're battling for our souls. And you know, these beings do not want us to ascend any higher than them, you know, so they hijacked us astrally and tried to stop us spiritually. You know, yeah, Lord Leviathan is a plasma being. He is part of this programmable matter. He's what started this infection, you know, this black virus, this black awakening. And, you know, they're called many names, these watchers, these fallen, the jinn, you know, Anunnaki, you know, whatever you want to call them, Enki and Enlil, you know, they go by many names. Enki is Lucifer. Lucifer is Poseidon. Poseidon, you know, is Viracocha. They're, you know, Viracocha is the same as Shiva. You know, they're all amphibious serpent reptoid type beings. They all have tridents, you know, with unfathomable power. You know, they're all the same being. You know, it's just they go by different names. You know, some call them the Grigori, some call them the Watchers, you know, some call them the Fallen. You know, they're all different names. And, you know, it no matter what they go by, you know, they are neither, you know, human nor God. They just are, you know, they're the eyes of the night. They're what's watch over all practices, magical practices and stargates. And they are there watching the holographic universe and guarding the Akashic record and guarding the, you know, we are a living library here, and it's an experimental planet, and everything is encoded, you know, and, you know, we should really start to tap into more of the true, you know, lore and our true history. Even to go, there's a way to tap into the forest and the dimensions in the animal kingdom. I mean, if you just go and walk into the forest, right, you hear frogs croaking, right? The frogs, just the frogs croaking, it will awaken dimensions in the animal kingdom, you know, and it keeps a frequency with the insects, and it awakens things inside you, and it awakens parts in your DNA. You see, we have the Kundalini as well. It's this coiled serpent that sits at the, you know, the base of our spine. And, you know, by the time you're 40 years old, it will coil all the way up to your spine and, you know, release in the back of your brainstem. And you're fully, you know, bringing light to all the fibers in your being and awakening yourself. And, you know, it's the ancestral download of your true being. As a sexual being and as a human and as a, you know, a being with a divine spark, it's all inside of you. And in an animal, I mean, it's Cater in the chat room, you know, it's everybody's, you know, I don't even like the word demon, you know, it's like, and then some people call them daemons, you know, when you're hosted, but you basically get hosted by a daemon. And, you know, to me, you know, some people, you know, use this draconian magic as well, where they're evoking certain serpent-like, you know, they call them gods. And to me, this is when you give your will and your soul, you're making an agreement to them, you know. And you see, if we were to, I don't know, I only got 2 minutes, but if we were to leave the earth astrally and look down, you see, there's rings of prisons around our earth, astral prisons. And each ring has these cubes in it. And each cube is a prison. And one prison is the Mormon church. One prison is the Catholic church. One prison is all these religions that got our souls preoccupied and put limitations on all these astral prisons. You know, we are surrounded by these astral prisons that have been locking us and halting our spiritual evolution. And it's time for us to increase the celestial influx on our planet and tap into our consciousness. You see, from the beginning of time, we've been hunted down. Back in the day, witches, who they call them witches or shaman, whatever you want to call them, they were hunted down for exploring their consciousness and were burned at the stake. And now, instead of burning people in the town square, their military are hunting them down. People that explore their consciousness, they're abducting them, they're wiping their memory, they're taking their DNA, and it's the same old deal from before. But now they have more technology and are able to harvest, you know, our DNA and our souls. So, you know, everybody, I know that's a lot to think about tonight. I know we got some deep issues. You know, it's a great night. You can find me at themysticalspiral.com. It's a beautiful Leo moon. I'm at Exploring the Ka with Ra Castaldo on YouTube. Stick around because we always got the greatest paranormal discussions from here to the Milky Way here on Para X Radio. This is the Mystical Spiral Radio. And my name is Ra Castaldo. Thank you again. And it's been a great night, guys. I want to say, like always, spiral out.
That smile, rain clouds.